God's path. And so tonight we hear from Psalm 32. The psalmist shares it this way. Happy are those whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Happy are those to whom the Lord imputes no iniquity and in whose spirit there is no deceit. While I kept silence, my body wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me, and my strength was dried up as by the heat of summer. Then I acknowledged my sin to you, and I did not hide my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin. Therefore, let all who are faithful offer prayer to you at a time of distress. The rush of mighty waters shall not reach them. You are a hiding place for me. You preserve me from trouble. You surround me with glad cries of deliverance. Friends, this is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Ash Wednesday. Can you believe it? We're already beginning Lent. Now, of course, the weather took care of that for us today. We thought maybe we were being just skipping over it and heading right past into Easter, and spring was almost here, but today proved it. Nope. Still Lent. The journey begins. March 1. And so we gather. We gather, and in a few moments, we receive ashes. Ashes in the sign of the cross on our foreheads. Ashes have a long history throughout the biblical text. So many symbols and meanings of ash. Ash is there when the people mourn and they tear their clothes in distress and grief and pour ash over them to signal their loss. Ash comes from that which has been burned, destroyed, till there's nothing but the simplest of elements. And so ash is a symbol of loss, the symbol of death. But ash is also a symbol of repentance, of returning to God, turning away from our old ways, coming before God in humility. Ash reminds us of our mortality, and that's a part of this season as we consider who we are before God, our struggle to live faithfully day in and day out. And ash comes from sacrifice. In the Old Testament ways of sacrifice, different elements would be burned up and then the ash kept and set aside and then used to purify, to renew as a symbol of cleansing and new beginning. So all of that comes together tonight as we celebrate this Ash Wednesday. Something new beginning out of the ashes. Many of you have been in fire-stricken locations before, I'm sure. A forest, mountainside perhaps. Fire ravaged at one point and it was charred and dark. Nothing growing. No life whatsoever. But it doesn't take long before that ash actually provides the nutrients and the growing potential and new life springs up. In fact, sometimes, often, more life than was before. And that's really at the heart of an Ash Wednesday service and commemoration. Do we take time to consider who we have been, what needs to be set aside, what needs to be put to death, what needs to be turned over so that new life would come. And so it seems, as I was thinking about Ash Wednesday and the season of Lent before us, that there's really sort of a three-step move that should take place in us throughout this season. And to help us remember it, three simple words: review, repent, renew. Now, I know it's late. It's a little different when you worship at night, right? Everybody's not feeling quite as alert and fresh maybe as they are on a morning. So every once in a while, I'm going to bring that phrase back and invite us to say it together. So do we remember it? Review, repent, renew. And it's not going to be up there to help you. Intentionally, no slides on this one. Review, repent, renew. I think it's a helpful three-step process for the journey of faith that you and I are called to, particularly in the season of Lent. Lent is a unique season in the church calendar. It's a season of repentance. And so we review. We review, who am I? What have I been like these past months? What does my life look like? How have I treated friend and neighbor and stranger? And so we review. We look deep. We take an intentional time to really explore into all parts of our life and to say, what is consistent with God and what isn't? What is helpful and glorifying and what isn't? So I was thinking about that. It reminded me of our home buying process many months ago. You know, when you get ready to buy a home, and you're told you should get an inspection, right? And so you do. You hire somebody to do a home inspection if you're not particularly trained in that, which I'm certainly not. And the person comes through, and they don't just walk through the house like you did, right? They don't just sort of say, well, all right, there's walls, doors, windows, carpet, looks good, move in. No, an inspector takes a very intentional, specific, diligent amount of time to look everywhere you wouldn't think of, to get into the crawl spaces, right? To look in the attic, to check the foundation, the plumbing, the wiring, all the aspects of the home. An inspection like that to make sure there are no surprises. And of course, there always are some surprises when those inspections come through. And thankfully, a home inspection gives you a report. After the review, there is a report to make sure you understand what needs fixing. And so it seems to me, on a night like tonight, part of the review that we need to do, sort of that inspection of the soul, and we're the best ones to do it because we know it best. There's no other expert to bring in on this one. It's you and I inspecting ourselves and saying, what does it look like in here? It might look fine on the outside. A lot of homes do. Our home looked great on the outside, by all accounts. But then the report came in. Well, there's some windows that don't open. Might need to get those fixed. Okay. There's some plumbing in the basement that really wasn't done right. That's probably going to be a problem. Okay. Uh-oh. Oh, and the basement wiring, you know, it looks like the homeowner did their own thing here, and they redid the wiring, and it's not really up to code. And it kind of works, but it might start a fire someday. You don't know. Right? You want to know about those problems when you go into that home. But you could ignore them. You could say, I'm sure they won't be that big a deal. That plumbing will probably be fine. I'm sure the wiring will work. We don't need to worry about all that. You could review and examine, who am I? What are the things that are pleasing to God and what aren't in me? How's the foundation of my soul? How's the wiring? What's going on? And you could come to find some things. Some things I would imagine you'd say, I don't think God's really happy about that part of my life. You could review it and ignore it. But hopefully upon review, an examination, an introspection, you would say, oh, boy, that's ugly stuff. God, I want to change this. And so you would go from the review to what? Repent. Remember, second word, repent. From the review, the introspection, the self-examination, to repent. That's what the season is all about in Lent, really, is after the review, the examination of self, is then to say, Lord, I want to change. I don't want to stay this way. And so we can come day by day, week by week, as we began tonight with confession, to repent. And the psalmist writes about the joy of it. Talks about groaning as he kept his mouth quiet, as he withheld his voice to God, as he didn't repent yet. But then once he shared, once he brought it out simply before God, then there was freedom and joy. And so the invitation is to review tonight. Review the inner workings of yourself. Who are you before God? You can't hide anything before God. So don't hide it from yourself. And then bring that. Bring that openly to God and repent. Repent is a simple word that means to turn, to change, to go in a new direction. And so to take that which is not honoring to God and to say, Lord, I don't want to do this and be this anymore. I'm going to change and go in a new direction. I'd invite you, in the moments as you prepare to receive the ashes and to feast at the table, it's a great moment, sort of quietly within yourselves, to go through that review and then to hold up, what do I need to repent of? What do I need to ask God's forgiveness of? So to review and to repent. And then once we do, then what happens? Renew. Awesome. Staying with it. It's renewal. The season of Lent is about repentance and renewal. And it only happens if we're honest with ourselves and we take the time to explore and to say, what's going on in here? Who am I? Who is God calling me to be? What do I need to let go of? Maybe it's anger. Maybe it's, if you think of through the seven deadly sin list, right? Maybe it's lust. Maybe it's gluttony. Maybe it's sloth. Maybe they're all there. And so much more. You review it and repent. And then God brings renewal. It says, oh, I'm so glad you shared that. Now we're ready to get rid of it, to toss it out so you can begin anew. Sometimes a part of the renewal of Lent that goes along with the review and the repentance is practices of fasting. Has anybody tried to fast during Lent before? Just a few? All right. I know, it feels a little more Catholic. I get it. There's a lot of good Catholic practice we can adopt in the Protestant circles. Fasting actually goes a little further back than the Catholics. It's why we celebrate Lent at all. 40 days, a season of preparation, prayer, and fasting. Why? Where did that come from? Oh, that's right. That's what Jesus did, right? He went out into the wilderness after his baptism and spent 40 days in prayer and fasting as a way of preparing him and renewing him for the ministry and life ahead. So fasting, friends, I want to commend it to you. I want you to consider for this season of Lent, what might you fast from? Now, this has typically been centered around food so often. And so often people will fast from red meat during Lent. That's why you get fish fries all over the place, right? Yeah, in part. They might fast from things like chocolate, candy. I fasted from donuts one year. Oof, rough. Or you might go a little further as you think about what you might fast from is what might be getting in the way of health in my life, whether it's physical health or spiritual health. What might be a struggle I have? Maybe it's related to food. Maybe it's an addiction of sorts. I was worried about that one year as I looked at my caffeine consumption. And I thought, I drink a lot of coffee. Is this an addiction level? Can I live without it? Because if I can't, then maybe it's got a little more hold over me than is healthy. And so one Lenten season gave up caffeine. just to make sure. Lord, is this in the way? Let me set it aside. Whew. I was able to do it, thankfully, by God's power and grace, not on my own. And it was comforting to know that indeed that didn't hold me, didn't have power over me. I wasn't in control. That's what fasting is about, as a practice, a discipline. So I want to commend you to consider, what might you fast from in this Lenten season? It's a fun question, perhaps around the dinner table. The last few years in our family, we've challenged each other. Well, what are you going to fast from this Lent? And the kids are always wrestling with things. And, you know, you have to work on it. Like, oh, well, I'm going to fast from broccoli. Okay, I don't think you're getting this, kid. Wait a minute. No. Let's not fast from things that are healthy and helpful for us. So you have to consider, what might I need to set apart, set aside for a season that's getting in the way of something in my life and God? Reflecting on that this week for my own self, and just thinking, you know, these days it feels like more than anything else, what gets in the way of me and God is what we sort of phrase now as screen time, right? Computer time, television time, phone time, right? We have all these screens in front of us all the time, and they're useful and helpful. There's nothing bad or evil about them in and of themselves. And yet, I was thinking for my own self, it's like, but because they're all there, it's easy for me to just go to the whatever screen I want, when maybe I should set that aside and say, Lord, maybe I should come to you. Maybe I should spend more time directly with you in prayer, reading scripture, in silence. I get way too much screen time in my life. Anybody else feel like that sometimes? Anybody? Maybe a few? Maybe that's a fast for this season. I'm not saying go cold turkey, all right? But maybe it's limiting it. Fasting for an hour less a day than you're used to. I don't know. It's not a prescription. But to consider for ourselves, what do we need to fast from? What's getting in the way of renewal, of life with God, of following in Christ's journey and way? I commend that to you this season, to consider day by day, starting tonight, to do what? Review, repent, renew. Let's do it again. Review, repent, renew. Awesome. Let's let that be the season all through Lent, day by day. Review, repent, renew. And see what God does in us as we go about that season and that rhythm for Lent. Gracious God, we need your Spirit to guide us in this, to help us honestly review who we are before you. Nothing hidden, just laid out before you, Lord. Help us to seek deep, to look in every part of our soul, to review it and to bring it before you, repenting honestly, seeking your mercy and forgiveness, Lord, that you give so freely, so that we would be renewed in new life with you, out of the ashes, new beginning. Lord, thank you. Thank you for leading us into that life in this season of Lent before us, we ask. In Jesus' name.